Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my
welcome,
song.
Friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The incarnation, that is, becoming flesh and blood, of the Son of God is one of the most glorious occurrences in the history of mankind. It transcends our comprehension and causes us to bow our faces to the earth in wonder. The eternal God of the ages, the Ancient of Days, he who is holy and undefiled, clothed himself in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He being without sin was indeed perfect in all of his ways, and though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He is indeed exactly suited to our need, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His purpose in this incarnation was to redeem those sons which were given to him before the foundation of the world, and he has completely performed that task. By his obedience to the law and its jot and tittle, his satisfaction of the penalty of sin by his one sacrifice for sins forever, and his complete and utter triumph over all of the enemies of his people, most especially death, as he rose a victor over it in the day of his resurrection. On the day of his ascension back to the Father, the angels told his disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." If he comes in the same manner in which he left this earth, then of necessity he is in the same body which the apostles touched and saw before he ascended back to the heavens, which must receive him until the time of the restitution of all things. All of our hopes rest on the fact that he ever lives to make intercession for us in heaven itself, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He who is now at the right hand of that majesty is a man who has completely satisfied the law, and having subjected himself to the rigors of death which it demanded of sinners, has fully and completely obtained eternal redemption for all of those for whom he stood as a substitute. Having obtained it for them, his presence there ensures their complete deliverance. The delight of our Savior was to gain the deliverance of those which were given to him before the foundation of the world, and he could be satisfied by nothing short of that goal. Even as Isaiah the prophet said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Being a man, he had no delight in physical pain and suffering any more than any other man. So he took no delight in the death and despair that he was faced with, yet he gladly suffered all of it for the sake of those whom he loved. This is he who is our hope and expectations, as he has quickened us and caused us to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The chief delight of the Son of God was to do his Father's will, and it is in the presence of his Father that he describes as the place of his greatest pleasure. He delights in his Father, and his Father delights in him, even as he declared on the Mount of Transfiguration, according to Peter's testimony. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Since this is the place of his greatest delight, it seems quite apparent that this is the same place that he would bring those whom he has loved with an everlasting love. In fact, this is exactly what he told his disciples. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Do you delight in heavenly things?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.